This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now.
Ron and Anian, there's a magic pill in New Jersey, or this is the land of magic, where some cars, not all cars, and some trucks, not all trucks, are required to be inspected. It's not equal, all right? The laws of common sense don't really apply here.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you. No pills gonna cure my head. I got a bad case loving you.
The car doctor. This car needs a good old-fashioned carbon cleaning. Hook up a machine, run the injectors, run fuel system cleaner strictly through the injectors.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the car doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now,
you ever see
Ron and Anian
naked?
Here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines. Hello and welcome, Ron and Anian, the car doctor, here at the helm at 855-560-9900. Here to take your calls and answer all your automotive questions, whatever there might be, 855-560-9900. More information at cardoctorshow.com. There's a Car Doctor Facebook page if you're so inclined. Facebook's getting a little trepidatious to kind of wander around of late. They're the algorithms and the formulas, and you can see this and you can see that, and who's, I don't know. I'm starting to lose interest in Facebook, but we are there, and we do try to post things on a regular basis, so you can check us out. And of course, there's podcasting available. If you're not lucky enough to get this on a terrestrial radio station, you can get out to cardoctorshow.com, follow the podcast link, or just go right to Spreaker.com and fill it in that way, and you can take the Car Doctor with you wherever you want to go. Remember, if you do happen to take the Car Doctor with you on a podcast, click subscribe or favorite or whatever it is, and keep the shows coming. You'll stay current and get the most up to date, and we get the best numbers on terms of who likes us and who doesn't, and we'll work hard to make it so that you do like us. I saw Volvo John this week at the diner, and I haven't seen John in a while. I call him Volvo John. My gosh, he was the Volvo parts manager for the local Volvo dealer. It's been 15 years since he was at Volvo, and I've seen him off and on. He's been in and out of a couple of different jobs, and most recently Volvo John. I guess I could call him Tesla John. He was doing parts for Tesla, and I hadn't seen him in about 2 years. I've known John the better part of 25, great parts man, one of those guys that, when he knows the product line, you can ask him, tell him you're doing a timing belt, and he can tell you the part numbers off the top of his head, as well as all the nuts, bolts, washers, clip, pip, schmips, and all the little things that go with it, just without even looking in the catalog. And I said, so what's life like at Tesla, John? And he said, well, I'm not there anymore. And he said, he says, I've been out of there about a year. And he said, I've got to tell you, he said, I think Tesla's a little bit of a magician. And I thought he was saying, in a positive sense. And by the way, this is my first yellow note rant of the day, so I just peeled it off the window. Because when I heard this story, I wrote here that Tesla's a magician, and he's making a cars appear out of thin air. And I heard that part, and I went, uh-oh, this probably doesn't sound good. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, the biggest problem is, he goes, that they're starting to get cars delivered to the dealership, or they were at the time, that they're getting cars delivered to the dealership. And he said, one of the classic problems is they don't work coming off the truck, or they don't work coming off the transport. And that they were starting to, what made him leave was he couldn't keep up with the demand for parts, because the problem became that they would get cars with parts in the trunk area or in the interior area, and they were told, finish building the car. And he said, so this is why I think he's a magician. This is Volvo John's interpretation, that Tesla's making cars appear out of thin air. I said, wow. Now, I wouldn't think that's a true story. Not that I think John lies, but it got me thinking about the lady in the red Tesla. I can't think her name, and I'm not really supposed to use her name, so I'm going to pretend I forgot, which I kind of did. But she's from South Jersey somewhere, and I saw her at a Christmas party over the holidays, and we got to talking, and she's telling me all about, people find out. I try to shut up when I'm at parties. Believe it or not, I can go spouts where I'm quiet. See, I just did it. And, she started telling me about her red Tesla. She found out, you know, I'm into cars, and I don't know, somebody said something about radio, and the conversation kind of takes off from there. So she bought a Tesla 3. The lady with the red Tesla, she bought a red Tesla 3. And I said, wow, I said, you know, I hear good things about that, you know, $35,000 car. And she just kind of gave me that, you know, double down look, like what you're talking about, Willis. And, you know, did the, well, let me tell you, Ron, she said that the $35,000 Tesla became $62,000. And I, you know, and now I'm thinking about when Volvo John's talking to me about Tesla, Tesla John, whatever he is, I'm thinking like, you know, this is sort of what I'm hearing from the consumer on the other side. She said that her $35,000 Tesla became $62,000. And of course, Ron said, why? And she said, well, first of all, you have to get the long-distance battery. She goes, unless you live 3 miles from everywhere you're going to go, she goes, you need the long-distance battery to get anywhere so that you don't have to charge the battery every couple of hours. So that's an issue. Okay. That was $9,000. So, yeah. Then she said, unless you like sitting on a picnic bench when you're driving, all right, and, you know, you enjoy cranking down windows and not having power door locks and sitting in something, you know, as Spartan as a garbage can. Her words, not mine. She said, you want to buy the interior package. That was $5,200. So then she needed better than seats because she didn't like the interior, the material it was made out of. She said it was something like you didn't need seat belts because you would stick to the seat regardless. So she went for the more comfortable cloth. And then she had to put wheels on the car. She figured, I'm into it this deep. You know, what's the difference? We'll put nicer wheels on the car, $1,500. She said, before I knew it, I spent $62,000 on my $35,000 Tesla. Here's the part that amazed me. And I said, but how's the car? She goes, oh, I love it. She goes, it's just too much money. Well, but then why'd you buy it? Oh, because it's a Tesla. You know, there's an old what's that old vaudeville joke about, you know, where they start asking him the one question, you know, it's kind of like Curly in the Three Stooges, right? Take off your hat, and he puts it on the umbrella, and, you know, put your hand on the Bible, so he puts the umbrella down and puts the hat back on his head, and he, right? Remember that skit where they go through the, you know, it's kind of like, why do you like the Tesla? Oh, because it's a Tesla. How much was it? It was too much money. I don't like that. Well, why'd you buy the car? Because it's a Tesla. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Now, in all fairness, she likes the car. She said, you know, she feels good. She's, you know, not using any fossil fuel. It's, of course, then me trying to be logical about it, and I apologize because I'm trying to make sense. I said, but what about the stories that go that, you know, you're charging the car with electricity? Yeah, but that just comes out of the wall. Yeah, but it has to come from somewhere. And, you know, it takes something to produce that electricity. And, yeah, she goes, but, you know, with LED light bulbs, somehow this became a conversation about LED light bulbs. And I'm just going around. I'm like, I'm starting to bang my head against the wall. She said, you know, since there's all these LED light bulbs in houses anymore, the power grid really has no load on it. So we have the ability to produce all this electricity, and it's really not that bad for the environment. Uh-huh. So we created LED light bulbs, I said, to take the load off the power grid. And now Tesla's come out with a car that puts more demand on it. And I think, you know, I'm sure we could have an argument here between myself and the listeners. Somebody's going to send me an email and tell me that I'm an idiot. But, you know, it's my understanding is that it takes fossil fuel or coal or something to run the power plant to make the electricity to power the Tesla so we don't have to use gasoline. But anyway, that's my two Tesla stories today. I'm really starting to question. I think Volvo John is right. I think Tesla's a magician. I think the red Tesla lady is happy, you know. I think at 82, when you buy a Tesla, I think you're happy that you bought a Tesla and you don't really want to mention whether it was good or bad. It's, you know, it's kind of like the morning after you wake up and go, I'm married. Oh, you know, yeah, it's okay. It'll be all right. I'll get by for a couple of years. I can think of some people that go through that.
You know, up where my daughter lives in Grafton, Mass., there's a high-end mall. They've got a Tesla store.
So yeah.
We walked in one day. Nice car. Gorgeous car. I mean, the interior was incredible. I mean, the instrumentation was fantastic. Real flashy. $147,000. Ron, that's a small house.
Yeah, Tom, I don't get it. I just don't get it. The way things are made today, there's no logic. All right. I'll tell you the story this way about logic real quick. I'm changing the bathtub in the house, right? And I know this has nothing to do with cars, but I always try to look at the logic of how things are created and made. And when you look at cars, right, we can't even get, you know, so you start talking about bathtubs. You say, cars are too complicated. We can't design those right. So have you looked at bathtubs lately? If you want a freestanding bathtub, I looked at it and I told the lady, I said, did they take the egg from Mork and Mindy and cut the thing in half? Because that's what it kind of looks like. It looks like an egg from Robin Williams and Mork and Mindy, right? She said, oh, no, this is the latest style. I sat down in the bathtub. First of all, I smacked my knee getting over the edge, all right? I mean, to the point of almost tears. I think there's blood underneath my pants. I can feel it. Like, I have to look. And, you know, but you sit down in the tub. Now, there's no water in the tub. So you lean back. The tub just about falls over sideways, okay? And she goes, well, there's no water in it. Well, then what'd you tell me to get in the tub for? Well, I wanted to see how it would fit. But you should, you know, like, I'm surprised the government doesn't have warnings. If you drive this bathtub without water, you could tilt over. You could see the lawsuit coming, right? I said, but whatever happened to a bathtub? Oh, we don't. She said, I know what you want. She goes, but we don't sell any of those. I go, well, do you have any? She goes, yeah. She takes me into the storeroom, right? Good old solid cast iron, you know, weighs more than a Volkswagen, which isn't hard these days. And, you know, it's like a bathtub. It's a real bathtub. You sit in the thing. It goes down below your boobs. You're up to your neck in water. It's like that's a bathtub. She goes, yeah, but nobody ever buys this. I go, why not? She goes, well, it's, you know, first of all, she says, it's too cheap, I think. People are looking to spend money on bathtubs. I looked at $8,000 bathtubs today, which just...
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, $8,000 bathtubs. I didn't buy anything, Tom.
Oh, thank God.
I looked at $8,000 bathtubs, which I've got to tell you, you know, and they're made out of acrylic, all right? And I kind of like the one that had the air bubbles, you know, would blow air bubbles at you. That was kind of neat. But, you know, you can't buy a bathtub with common sense. You can't buy a Tesla with common sense. You know, is it any wonder we're in the mess that we're in with society and technology? 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. Let's pull over and take the pause while the buttons still work. We'll be back right after this.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena.
He drives that way, but when it comes to fixing cars, Ron has car advice done right. 855-560-9900. Here's Ron.
Hey, let's get on over and talk to John in Wisconsin on one Chevy Suburban. John, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help? John? Yo, John. We're missing a button. This is the part where I kind of fill in the air gap, folks, because, you know, dead air on radio is never a good thing. And as long as there's sound, it always works. Do we want to try and get over to line two, or is John there? Let's try it again. Technology. Let's go to Bob. Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ron. How
hey,
are
Bob.
You?
Well, I see things are coming in clearer in Delaware than they are in Wisconsin. We'll have to work on that. We'll have to turn
apparently,
the flux capacitor around.
I wanted to
around.
Make a few comments on the Tesla.
Hit me, brother. What do you got?
I think this thing is a great car. I think Elon's a great guy. He's probably 10 years ahead of his time, probably 10 years behind GM when they had the SV1. I think it's a situation where we got to use all the technology we have. And the thing with Tesla, especially with the Model 3 over the summer, he was under tremendous pressure all summer long to get the numbers up. So they were producing the car, and I think in the end they put a model line in a tent. So they actually had an assembly line and a tent in the parking lot where they were assembling the cars by hand.
Yes, I believe
you're
right.
Now, the fact
that
they threw half the parts in the trunk was just merely to get the cars delivered, was just to get the numbers out.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't know numbers-wise whether that's a completed car or not, and it's always cheaper to build the car at the car dealership under the warranty program because they pay a lot less to the technicians than they pay for assembly line. Volkswagen's been doing that for years.
You think so?
Oh, I know it. I worked for Volkswagen for a number of years as a technician,
right.
And I can tell you that the cars, especially the stuff that came out of Latin America, the Volkswagen Fox, half that car came in the trunk. The seats didn't match. I mean, the thing was a mess.
Yeah, but
had to be rebuilt at the dealership before you could deliver it.
But you don't think that the assembly line where they're doing mass production and they can turn out a higher volume cost per unit is cheaper to have, you know, everybody on the line assemble that car versus, you know, one technician in the bay work on the car for 3 days?
Well, the way he built that out in a parking lot in the desert of California, it's all robotic.
Okay.
And that's where they ran into all kinds of problems between the robotics and the humans. when he got into trouble this summer is because he didn't have his production numbers up to where he claimed they would be.
Okay.
I mean, a brilliant guy. He's a very smart guy. Now he's I'm sure there are people that are a lot smarter than he is, but he's a very smart guy. He had a lot of money from PayPal. He put his PayPal money where his mouth is. I mean, he really did put himself out. I think electric power is fantastic. We have a Tesla supercharger station here in Lewis, Delaware, that has maybe 8 posts on it. I never see more than 1 or 2 cars there at any given time.
Now,
is it a load on the power grid? Absolutely. Is it better than burning fossil fuel? Absolutely. You know, I mean, one's a trade-off. I look at the Salem Nuclear Power Plant in New Jersey, and I see the steam coming off the conning towers. Nuclear power is a problem unto itself. Outside of the long-term pollution from the spent rods, it's not the same as the burnt coal in the air.
But,
so, I mean, it's all trade-off.
Now, well, I agree. I think it's a trade-off. I agree with that statement. And again, if you notice this morning, I only commented on this was this person's opinion, this was that person's opinion. Have I ever sat in a Tesla? Once. Have I ever driven one? No. Have I ever tried to work on one? No. But I go by what I read. All right, you know, I go by what I read, I go by what I hear. The truth be told, the last time I really looked into this, my understanding, walking away from the article I read at the time about a year ago, was that it costs more to produce the electricity and more effort of fossil fuel expulsion into the environment than the internal combustion engine. The electric car
right
program.
Now,
and not, and
I
that's
can
not
pull
just
into
Tesla.
A Wawa.
And that, wait,
yeah,
but that's
no,
not just Tesla. That's all of them.
Right now, and pay $1.96, and diesel is $2.42.
Right. Well,
you know, I mean, so yeah, those numbers, absolutely. But, you know, they're grossly underinflated numbers. I mean, it's you've got Royal Farms battling against Wawa here.
Right.
But that's, you know, the cost of fuel is ridiculously inexpensive right now.
I mean, it
must be subsidized.
Where do I think Tesla's taking us? Do I think Tesla's as bad as everybody makes him out to be? No, I think he's a businessman. I also think part of the bad rap Tesla's getting is partly, in fact, because I can't believe he's making GM, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, etc. happy. He, you know, this is like Tucker in the late 40s. You know, this is the guy
right.
that's coming out with the next revolution. And I know he's not making big oil happy. All right.
Right. But they're bailing on the Ford electric and they're bailing on GM, bailed on the Volt.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, and they did that to the Saturns. I mean, and it wasn't enough to just let the Saturn go. They had to bring them all back and crush them. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Where I think Tesla is really trying hard and working hard, and I admire him for this, is he's trying to create the revolution that will lead to the next change. And nobody's giving
him
enough.
That's helpful.
And I believe that. I really do. You know, at the end of the day, we've all got to work together and move forward because, you know, every time I look at those photos from space, this is the only blue marble left in the universe, and this is the only place where life as we know it exists. And we got to take care of it while we're here and while it's still here. Bob, I appreciate the call and the conversation very much. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. You know, to continue the comment, and I love the call from Bob in Delaware. I love to hear your thoughts about Tesla, and it's a great open exchange of ideas. You know, the problem is we love to knock what we don't understand, and we love to knock anything different. Maybe I'm guilty of it at times, too. I guess I could say I'm human, and it happens. And it's, but, you know, you got to look at where Tesla's taking us. And I've spoken pro and anti-Tesla. I get it. I've seen some things that make me wonder, and I see a thing with a lot of car companies that make me wonder. You got to admit this, though, right? Where's Tesla taking us? He's taking us off the planet. You know, he's taking us to the point that when we go to the stars, and we will go to the stars, we will go to other planets. Maybe not in my lifetime, but we will. He's laying the groundwork for that vehicle, that electric vehicle that will go to Mars. You know, one of the things, and I love this movie, how many people have seen The Martian, right? Remember The Martian with, what's his name? Matt Damon, right? Matt Damon. That movie is so real. I looked it up. I'm like into this now. I Googled The Martian, and, you know, it's supposed to be set in the early 2030s. So it's about 15 years from now, give or take, right? And the neat thing about that movie is you look at the vehicles in it. The rover, I mean, it's all, that could be in Tesla's library. Of course, if you really want to get to the absurd and the ridiculous, then you hear the conversations that Tesla is really from outer space, and that's why he's doing this. He's part of that contingency that landed at Roswell in 48 to bring new tech. But we won't talk about that here because I'll find myself on overnights with what's-his-name, Art. Anyway, let's go over and talk to John from Wisconsin, who I understand is back. The technology, the sound waves are starting to work again. 01 Chevy Suburban, John, what's going on here, babe? How can I help?
Well, I had a transmission rebuilt in June. I took it out of the truck myself and took it to the transmission shop, and they rebuilt it and gave me a year warranty, and it made it about 5 months and 3,500 miles, and I'd lost overdrive in it, and by the time I got pulled over to a safe spot, it was making a loud grinding noise. I had no forward, no reverse or anything. So I took it out again, and I drained, when I pulled the lines off, I noticed usually that's kind of the big mess of the whole deal, and there was no fluid came out of the lines. So I took it up to the shop, and they gave me a call back a day later, and they told me my radiator was bad, that it wasn't letting the fluid through, and it was just kind of a massive meltdown inside of it. And,
okay.
It's nothing there. They warranty, you know, he's going to give me a good deal on it, which I haven't, you know, come to terms with yet. I guess I haven't, he hasn't got it done yet, but I guess I wonder what your thoughts were on, you know, his being able to diagnose this without looking at the radiator. Or
how many miles are on it, Joe? This truck?
The whole truck has got about 160.
All right. Original radiator?
Yep.
All right. When you know, when you say there was no fluid coming out of the lines, out of both lines or just one line?
Right, both of them. Yeah, both are dry.
You know, I don't know, in all fairness to him, because I get where you're going, you know, did the pump fail not pushing fluid where it was supposed to, and, you know, was this a hydraulic issue in the trans that it failed that way, that it wouldn't put fluid through the cooler? You know, yeah, I get that. Honestly, if this is the original radiator at 160, and this is just my way of thinking, all right, at 160,000 miles, 18 years old.
Yep.
I'd have put a radiator in the truck 5 years ago. You know, just on principle. All right. And while I've got the radiator out, I do a radiator, a water pump, hoses, etc. But the bigger picture here is coming back to the radiator in its present shape. You know, can you push air through it? You know, if you put an air hose to it, can you, or a can of trans cooler flush? Can you push particulate and matter and you know?
Yeah, I did blow it out, and I did blow it out into a clean container, and there was some, you know, quite a few little black specks that were, you know,
right,
in the fluid. And it blows harder from the bottom than it does the top. The top, it's just not restricted at all. If you blow on the bottom, then it's definitely got a little bit of a restriction.
Yeah, and I guess that's because this is a side tank cooler, right? It's mounted vertically. Or is it along?
Right,
yeah. And I guess it would be more towards the bottom because that's probably where all the sediment and crud settles. So, you know, stupid question. I think I already know the answer because I'm sure you did it. But when you did the trans the first time, you flushed the cooler, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, in life, so goes the bumps. What kind of a deal is he giving you on the trans?
I'm thinking, you know, less than half price.
Okay.
It was about originally $1,300 the first time, and I guess I'm hoping for about $5,000.
So how did you pick this trans shop? Just out of curiosity.
Just kind of word of mouth.
All right.
It's hard to find a trans shop that doesn't want to do the whole job themselves now.
Right. So to his credit, he sort of stuck his neck out, and now he's going to get it chopped off. I just looking at it from his side, and then I can see it from your side. Is it the trans? Is that the failure? Is it cooler related? You know, in the radiator. So let me ask you. And I'm just kind of getting a feel. You know, what do you do for a living, John? You know, are you a tech that's working out of his house, or are you a retired tech, or
I'm kind of retired. It's not a work truck. It's
right.
Just a pleasure vehicle.
But I mean, were you a mechanic at one point? Is what I'm asking.
Not for pay, no.
All right.
I just fixed my own stuff over the years.
All right. So, and you know what? Some of the smartest guys I know are the weekend warriors, and I have a ton of respect for you guys. If you were to look at this thing from you know, the perspective of what happened, what do you think went wrong with the truck? You're on the scene. Do you think it's the cooler? Do you think the cooler is working properly?
I guess I think he's probably right. I guess I wish he would have told me it wasn't warranted unless I replaced the radiator.
Fair point.
That would be a good thing for him to tell me.
Right. Fair point. And, you know, here's that human condition again, right? Sometimes we make mistakes. So, and you know, sometimes it comes back to bite you no matter what you do. I've got a 2010 Cadillac DeVille at the shop right now. Nicest little old lady car you could ever want to see, 53,000 miles. You know, sweetheart customer. She's getting a little older now, and it's, you know, I've got to go slow when I explain things, but she's okay. And we just overhauled the steering system in December. The power steering rack was bad. Particulate went everywhere. You know, the fluid was disgusting. So I did, you know, she said, listen, do what you got to do. I did a pump. I did a rack. I did the pressure line. Blew everything out. All GM parts. GM fluid. Perfect. Down the road. Until Wednesday. 3 weeks later, she comes back and she goes, it's making this funny noise again. All right. I put it up in the air. I look at it. I said, gee, why is the driver's side steering rack boot wrinkled? You know, it's kind of got this, like a piece of plastic to heat look to it. And I take a little pinprick, because where'd all the fluid go that I don't see anywhere? I take this little ball and I just put a little tiny pinprick in the bottom. And I'm going to guess and say about a half a pint of fluid came out. Well, I guess the new GM Delco steering rack is a total piece of junk. So Tuesday or Monday, whatever day I'm back, we're gonna put a new rack in this car again. And I guess my point is sometimes we should say change the radiator, and sometimes we should say put a better grade of part in it, and sometimes we should say flush the trans. But you know what? Sometimes the dog bites you, and sometimes you bite the dog. Sorry, Lucy. I got the studio dog in here with me today. So, you know, the fact that he did it and, you know, it worked for 6 months, I think he did okay. You know, if it was something related to something he did, you would think it would have happened overnight. Of course, you would also think that if the cooler was clogged at the time of the failure of the first trans, it would have happened sooner than 6 months.
Right.
You know? So, as much of an inconvenience as it is, from my perspective, if this were me in the shop, I'd be telling you, hey, John, you know what? I'm really sorry it happened. All right? I'm gonna charge you $500. I'm going to make you happy. I'm going to make you come back. We're going to have a long-term relationship, et cetera, et cetera. All right? I think he's losing on this. I think you're losing on that. It's an automobile. I think that's the risk we all take working on cars. Some days you just get bit, and there's just no right or wrong, and it just happens. You know, I'm going to redo a steering rack that I did my job right. I put the part in. I did everything. I lined it all up. I did everything absolutely perfect. And I get to do a, you know, I'm going to lose 3 hours of time on Monday between the rack and the alignment just by walking in the door. You know, that's the risk we take. You know, here's the other way to look at it, all right? Just a nickel's worth of free advice is, and I say this very gently, is the $500 going to break you?
No.
Is it worth the stress?
No.
Right. You know what? If you were to leave Earth tomorrow and you worked this hard to get where you are in life and you left Earth tomorrow over the stress of the $500 for the trans, man, it ain't worth it. You know what? The universe is trying to teach you something. Take it for what it is and just trust in, you know, let's see what happens. Hey, listen, look at it this way. The pressure's actually on him. You know why? Because if you
got to make it work for another 6 months.
Well, because if you put a trans in this, if he rebuilds the trans and you put the radiator in it and you flush everything,
okay,
and the trans blows up in 6 months, now what's he going to say? right? And to me, that's his image and that's everything. And now you'll know. You know, I actually feel bad for the guy. He stuck his neck out, and now the pressure's on. Because if anything goes wrong with that trans, something uncontrollable out of his control, the pull pin falls out, the servo fails, the spring cracks, anything, he's in it up to his neck. And you know what? He's really got his reputation on the line here, so let's hope it works. Let him do it. Let him do it. Put a radiator in it. Show him the old one. And before you put the new one in, check the flow on the old cooler, on the cooler in the radiator that's clogged versus the new one, and see if there's any difference. And if there is, you know that the cooler caught it. And see what happens and go from there. All right, sir?
Okay, thank you.
Let me know what happens, John. Good luck to you.
All right.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. 855-560-9900. Ron and Ian, the Car Doctor, coming back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900 is the 24/7 phone number. Give us a call. Let's get over to Tom in Maine. Tom, what can I do for you, sir?
Hey, my story begins back in probably August and September of 2017. I was having various brake issues on a 2012 Ram. So I brought it to an independent shop, and between those 2 months, they did all four corners of the truck, pads, rotors, calipers.
Okay.
And everything was good for a little while, and the guy told me he put ceramic brake pads on it and, build it up to be the best thing ever. And, I don't know, 15,000 miles later, I was having problems and just recently had the rears fixed, both rears, and the pads were delaminated. So I didn't know what you had for insight or maybe any expertise on ceramic brake pads.
Well, you know, I'm going to say I don't think it's ceramics. I don't think the ceramics your problem. We use ceramics all day long in the shop, and I absolutely love them. One of the downside of a ceramic pad, my experience is that when it's cold, it doesn't work as well. But once it warms up, it works. It'll give you, I think, superior stopping power in most applications over a semi-metallic. There's also a durability factor where I think ceramics do last longer than the semi-mets. My first question is, where did the truck come with original equipment? And I'm going to say ceramic, I'm going to guess. And frankly, unless I looked in a catalog or he looked in a catalog, I don't know how anybody would know the difference between whether or not it was a semi-met or ceramic on there. I guess right. You could look at it, but by the point you give me a worn brake pad so worn you can't tell what was what, what's crushed and what's not. I think more before we start to cite the material the brake pad is made out of, I always start to talk about, you know, what kind of steps were taken to do the brake job properly. And this sort of gets into the conversation about people that do pad slaps that just do pads and no rotors and things like that. I'll tell you what, Tom, sit tight. Let me pull over and take the pause. I don't want to rush this. I'll come back and we'll finish up with you right after this. I'm Ron Anning, the Car Doctor. Don't go away. Tom, you're still there. Ron Anning here. How are you?
Good.
So picking it up, 2012 Dodge Ram, for those of you just joining us, ceramic brake pads, good or bad, and Tom's back brakes aren't really lasting more than 15,000 miles. How are the fronts, Tom, by the way? Did they last the distance? Are they still working?
I've since had everything taken off, unfortunately.
Okay.
I went to the dealer, and they replaced it, and my fronts were acting up before the rears. So I didn't have very good luck with the fronts either.
So what makes you think it's the compound real quick versus the guy just used cheap parts?
I wasn't necessarily thinking it was the compound, but I do probably think it was the quality of part. But I was just calling to see your opinion on ceramic brake pads because I don't have much experience with those.
All right. If you're driving anything in the last 15 years, you've been driving ceramics. Most likely.
Okay.
You know, and I like ceramics. Like I said before, I like ceramics. I actually believe, let me think about this statement before I make it. I believe I've got ceramics on the hot rod. And I just know that, you know, we're not going to do 180 miles an hour before we get the temperature up, you know, let things warm up a little bit. But that being said, probably more important or just as important as how the brake job is done in terms of quality of component, pad, rotor, etc., is, you know, Are they lubing the slides? Are they putting a little contact silicone grease or whatever magic goo the shop's using at the point where the pad's right on the slide, on the back of the pad, so it doesn't vibrate against the piston or the caliper bracket? Are they putting a little silicone around the hub where the rotor sits so it's easy on-off removal, that kind of thing? All those are signs of a good quality, complete brake job. And I won't say that would have helped you last longer than 15,000 miles, but it's a sign that the shop, I think, is doing the job right and trying to do so in terms of what they're actually trying to accomplish. You know, brakes are one of those things. I can sell you a $6 brake pad and tell you it's $100, and I can sell you an $80 brake pad and tell you it's $100. You won't know until you see how long they last. All else being considered, I think this was quality of the part, not necessarily the part itself. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. The mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless.